Good evening, everyone. This is Terry Lynn Coop, host of the Blue Plate Special, and tonight I am very pleased to serve up Stephen A. King, the guy who blogs under the name The Other Stephen King on the Blue Plate Special. He's a dean by day and writer by night, and he grew up being asked whether or not he was that Stephen King. Not the author, he'd say, until the writing addiction took over and made that into a lie. He now writes and blogs as The Other Stephen King, you know, that guy who writes, he's the one who writes fantasy and science fiction. And when he's not writing, he likes either thinking about writing, talking about writing, or fishing. And tonight we're going to talk with him about his fantasy series, so let's just get right to it. How you doing tonight, Mr. King?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you.
Let's just launch right into it. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your fantasy series, of which I think book three just dropped?
It did. It's actually intended to be a four-book series, and it's actually my second series. This series it's been called the Princess Diaries of the Elf World. So a young Mississippi girl finds out that she is going to be the elf queen in the elf realm. Because her father happens to be the elf king, and he'd been gone for most of her life. And he comes back and drops the news on her, and she gets to learn a whole new culture, a whole new language, and just deal with all the politics that elves are kind of famous for.
Well, that'd be awkward. So who is your main character?
Well, the main character is Alyssa. She's 18 now, and she grew up in the South, is a really sassy Mississippi girl, says a lot of bless your hearts. And I grew up in Mississippi, so I have known plenty of models for this particular character. So she's just a firebrand, goes in very ignorant of the customs, but learns very quickly. So she manages pretty well. She picks her friends well.
And what is the...
Well, the first book is really about her getting into the society, and she faces off against this shadowy group called the Cult of the Worm that she doesn't know is run by an actual dragon. And so, you know, they came out of the shadows to make a couple of attacks on her, and they end up going, and there's a library full of the ancient Elven tomes called the Library of Alexandra, and she ends up burning it down, and is horrified by that. So the book is about her battles, her initial battles anyway, against the cult.
And where is she at when we get to this third book that just came out last month, since it's April now?
Yeah, the third book, and time flies, doesn't it? So by the third book, she's already been up. I mean, the Elven custom is the new queen has to go around and meet each of the four main clan chieftains and get their approval. And she's been to the north, and she's about to go to the other ones, but the other ones there's this prophecy that she's going to destroy a lot, and so they are against her. She ends up having to do what's called their vision quest, Hunnam Gaius in their language. And the dragon yanks her to his world in the transition to this. And so she spends much of the third book dealing with a very dark, kind of sinister world, and then finally getting back from that.
Okay, that's interesting. So who are some of the people she's going to meet along the way, or creatures she's going to meet along the way?
Well, I mean, she meets her cousin, who is a ranger, and in the, you know, I picked some kind of classic archetypes, if you will. The ranger has a familiar who's a wolverine, and then she's also accompanied by the gorgeous elf prince. She's got a nickname for everybody, being a southern gal, so she literally calls him Prince Charming. But those are kind of her two main guardians, and she's got another guard that her father bestows upon her, who ends up being a bit of a stodgy accompaniment for a lot of the adventure. So she's kind of this trio of friends, except they're not always friends.
Of course not. Now, sci-fi and fantasy gets lumped together a lot. You know, it's kind of just FF, sci-fi fantasy. But they're not the same thing, are they?
Not really. Well, yeah, it depends on who you ask. Because, you know, most people would lump fantasy as magic, dragons, elves, Tolkien kind of stuff. Sci-fi is more of the Asimov space trilogy, robots, spaceships kind of thing. But one of the authors I grew up reading, if I had to point to one guy who inspired me the most, it would be Isaac Asimov. And he wrote an essay once about how most of literature actually falls within the heading of fantasy, including sci-fi, and how sci-fi and fantasy really aren't honestly that different because, you know, sci-fi basically rips on technology that doesn't exist yet. And who's to say that magic just is technology that doesn't exist yet?
No, I like that. I like that. So when I look at it, because I'll admit it up front, I don't read a lot of fantasy. I enjoy it. I mean, of course, I enjoyed, you know, the Lord of the Rings trilogy and all of that. But what are some of the elements that I will see in a fantasy if I want to pick one up?
Well, typically in a fantasy, you're going to have some sort of challenge, some sort of coming of age, usually, or an overcoming of a mighty force or something like that. There's a massive challenge. The fantasy typically ends well. You know, you do have dark fantasy that has the unhappy endings, but typically fantasy follows a fairly predictable arc where you. You know, the protagonist goes in, battles, finds out about the bad guys, battles the bad guys. A lot of times there's surprises along the way of who's actually the bad guy, and then ends up triumphing over evil in the end. And so that's the fantasy. And the cool thing is the sci-fi is almost identical. It's the same type of plot arc, the same type of people. Again, the only difference is the sci-fi typically has a blaster, whereas the fantasy a lot of times either has a sword or a magic spell.
So what made you want to write with a teenage girl as your main character?
Well, it was a kind of a combination thing. And the fact is my wife really is half of my creative muse. You know, I'm the technical writer in the family. She's much more of the creative side of it. And we happened to be down it was one of our big family vacations down in Disney World. And I was telling her, I used to be in a singing group long ago, and we did a concert at Disney World. And I was telling her how the performers are shuttled around underneath the whole city in big tunnels and kind of pop up. And I said, and I thought, wouldn't it be cool if elves were like that? And that's how I got the idea for the way the elf and the human world interact. Then we got to talking about who would be kind of the main character in this, and I honestly, the character, if you will, the archetype, I guess, of the Southern girl is very strong. Typically, it's sassy. And so I thought I could have a lot of fun with it.
Was it hard for you to get into that kind of mindset? Because you also write in first person, correct?
I do. And at first it was. I was blessed because I also happened to have a daughter in the house at the time. And so I can't tell you the number of times I'm reading to her out loud saying, okay, is that the way you would actually say something?
And what was her response?
Well, she would set me straight and sometimes gently, you know, but yeah, she was a great resource as far as what, and she's a little bit older than 18, but still in that same age block that could tell me. And I would say something like that. That's, you know, you use much more direct, or not as direct, and that kind of thing.
Interesting. Now you said this is actually your second series.
It is. I was actually published by a small press for the first series, and they went under, and that's how I got into my independent publishing.
And give me the 2-minute version of your first series.
Well, my first series is a gal ends up finding out that she's married to the god of war, Mars, literally the god of war. It's in a world where they go 2,000 years with technology, and then all of a sudden all the electrons vanish, and they go 2,000 years with magic, and then flip, and it's a continual cycle, and there are a set of immortals who guide the world through this process. And the guy she happens to be married to is the god of literally the guy who was Ares, Mars, Tyr in the Norse mythology. So he is that persona, which isn't always a very nice persona, but she ends up having to deal with that. I put her up against the goddess of love, who happens to want a relationship back with the god of war, and you know, who cares about the human in between them. So that's kind of the nutshell, the three books that kind of map her process, her progress of coming to grips with being married to an immortal, and then trying to seek to become an immortal herself.
So now, is this series available?
It is.
Oh, okay, because you said the press went out of business, so I wanted to check. So is it available in ebook?
It is. It's all my books, all my novels are available both ebook and print book. And if you go to my site, you weren't off. I do have a website, theotherstephenking.com.
Okay.
And you can actually go to my works page and either order the ebook version. I go through Smashwords, so you can actually do whatever version your physical reader can take, or you can order the physical book, or you can order it directly from me and get a signed copy. So I try and give all those different options.
I like the name of your blog. That's clever. Why don't you tell us a little bit about having your name?
Well, you know, I did. I went through most of my life, and I at one point, way before I started writing, I had a girlfriend, and I bought her a plane ticket. And she got a hard time at the gate because the woman's like, no, I'm friends with Stephen King, and he wouldn't buy you a ticket. And well, wait. So, you know, there's been this name thing for pretty much my whole life. I was five when he became famous and wrote Carrie. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's been a long process, which is fine. I appreciate all of the success. So when I got my first novel written, I went to a writing conference, and I found an agent, and I was talking to him, and I said, you know, I've got a pseudonym picked out. It's Evan Koenig, which is kind of a riff on my Irish and my German heritage. And he looked at me and said, well, why don't you use your name? It's your name. You typically use a middle initial, which his is E, and I figured if I used H, then people would know the difference, and I was wrong. Get a couple of reviews that say, well, it's a good book, but he's not the Stephen King. It's like, well, yeah.
So you have a blog, your website, called The Other Stephen King. I like that.
I do, yeah. And my blog itself is actually a riff on his. He wrote the first book that I ever read on the craft of writing, which is Stephen King's On Writing, a Memoir of the Craft. Yeah. It's a great book. It's awesome. And so my blog is The Other Stephen King On Writing.
Even better. Yes. And that it is an absolutely fantastic book. And what do you like to blog about?
Well, I blog, and I confess I've been not blogging for way too long. You said at the beginning, and it's on my bio that I'm a dean. I just switched jobs about a year ago, and I'm actually now with the State Department.
Okay.
And so I've been really busy dealing with that transition and learning my new my new role. And so I haven't blogged, and I haven't even written much, unfortunately. But when I am blogging, I'm talking about the process of my writing. I started out the process just kind of to keep track of what I was going through to write a novel, because at the time I was doing my dissertation too. And I was bored. I with a dissertation, you write part of it and then you send it off to committee and you wait until they get back to you, which They say it takes up to 2 weeks, which means it takes 2 weeks. And so you're not doing anything for 2 weeks. And then you get the thing, and all the different changes you have to make, you rush through them because you want to start another two-week timer, and so you send it out the door and wait another 2 weeks. And so when I was defending my dissertation, my mentor told the committee, and you've actually published a novel. I said, yeah, I've published two of them. And she said, I said, yeah, I was waiting on you guys, so I wrote the novels. And they laughed, luckily, but I did successfully defend, so luckily, but it was during my dissertation that I wrote those.
And you've written an academic book as well, haven't you?
I have. I've got one that's very boring, which is it's an article on faculty leadership within post-secondary. But I've got another one. I wrote another one because I've worked so much with helping students get through both lower level college and high school. I'm actually a tutor on the side. So I wrote a book called Hack Your GPA, which goes into the basics of, you know, hey, look, here's how to get through and be successful. Because everybody could make straight A's in school. It's not so much a matter of how brilliantly intelligent you are, and more a matter of how you approach the work and how you approach the topics. And so I shared those secrets in Hacky GPA.
Well, interesting, but I don't think I'm in the mood to hear a passage from Hack Your GPA or the one about faculty relationships. But you do have a passage from your new book, don't you?
I do, and I would love to read for you.
I want you to tell everybody this is the name of the book and the series that it's from, since you talked about both of your series.
Okay, this is actually the prophecy, which is. The formal title of the series is The Elf Queen of Kirijana. So it's the second series, the one where the 18-year-old Mississippi girl goes to the elf land. And I'd like to read you the opening passage, which is kind of your first introduction to her and her, how she thinks and all that kind of thing, if that sounds okay.
Absolutely. Let's hear it.
Okay. So the opening is... In hindsight, I'll admit that slugging the High Priestess was probably a very bad idea. As my feet pounded down the hall toward an escape I didn't figure I was going to make, my new elf shoes making a ruckus on the stone floor, two thoughts came rushing at me. First, I really wish that I had my tinnies on instead of the hard-soled shoes. Second, I should have thought about what a stupid thing it would be to hit a High Priestess, and that well before I let go of my temper. Oh, and third, Dad's going to be ticked at me for it. That was a new one. I hadn't worried about my father's opinion before. Not ever. Sprinting, I cut toward the side exit of the cathedral, my slick soles making it tough but not impossible to turn. The acolyte standing guard would no doubt be waiting for me, alerted by some sort of elven voodoo that I couldn't possibly know about yet. They would be ready to catch me and send me back for whatever punishment punching their spiritual leader in the nose would bring. I didn't know. At that moment, I really didn't care. Yeah, I was that angry. As I sprinted, it occurred to me to wonder how the High Priestess had possibly seen it coming. My swing was epic, but she hadn't fallen. She hadn't even really winced. It wasn't from a lack of trying. I could throw a punch with the best of them. I'd only had one fight in school. And once word of it had spread, most of my classmates got much nicer. Tommy just caught me in the corner where I couldn't get out of, and for no apparent reason started mouthing off about stuff that shouldn't be mouthed off about, you know, mama, single mother, and so on. I swung a closed fist, he hit the ground with a broken nose, and everybody left me and mama alone from then on. Until I met the elves, anyway. Thinking about all that, I missed the turn. It was easy enough to spin back using the next pillar for leverage. Without slowing down, I cupped my right hand around the back of the smooth marble, put my weight into the spin, and I was able to whirl around the column quickly. I darted a few feet back down the empty hall toward the turn I should have made in the first D, amazingly. Empty? Why weren't the acolytes chasing me? Had I somehow outdistanced them? There had been several elves in the room when I snapped, lost my temper, and lashed out with a right hook, and I bet at least half of them could probably set new world records in track and field back on Earth if they ever cared to go there and try. So why weren't they chasing me? You know how people always yell at teenagers to look where they're going? They always seem to yell it at me anyway, and I should have listened then, because while my head was turned back over my shoulder, I ran right smack dab into somebody. Bam! The collision was actually hard enough that it and the grunt of whoever I'd run into echoed off the exit door that stood closed and probably locked way down at the end of the hallway. As we both tumbled to the hard stone floor, I took in some disturbing facts in the order that they came to me. First, the guy I'd collided with, and he was a guy I knew because my head impacted right in the middle of his muscular chest, was easily a head taller than me, which was unusual because of my own height. Every time we'd had height and weight measurement days in PE, they made a show of pointing out that the top of my head cleared over the 6 foot mark. I hated standing out so much, but it made the number of guys whose chest height matched my nose being really, really tiny, even among the elves. The second and more disturbing fact was that he was wearing plush purple velvet robes adorned copiously with sparkling gold thread, and only one man I'd seen in the realm of the elves wore such finery. Third, the bright golden medallion that my nose and then my cheek planted itself on bore the unmistakable seal of the stag and the raven. I'm surprised I don't have a stag's horn still imprinted on one side of my face. Only one male elf in the realm had the authority to wear the stag and the raven, the elf king himself. I tried to help him up, but he was having none of that as he rose on his own and fixed me with a powerful glare. His penetrating blue eyes asked so many wordless questions that I could only think of one thing to say. I gave the Elf King my sweetest smile, brightened my own blue eyes as much as humanly possible in the hopes of making an impact. "Hi, Daddy. I can explain," I said in my sweetest voice.
I like and it. I definitely like it.
Thank you.
And it sounds, too, like this would not only appeal to fans of fantasy, but also young adult.
Yeah, I marketed this as a young adult fantasy book. Because specifically, I mean, now there's actually a huge market for available for those kids to read. But there hasn't always been a lot of good stuff for them to read. And so a lot of adults like young adult, and this gives the young adult something to read, too. So I enjoyed writing it.
Well, and you told me earlier back in the green room that you have a coupon right now for anyone, a discount coupon for anyone who might like to grab your book.
I do. I would love to give copies away for free, believe it or not. And if you go to my website, theotherstephenking.com, and follow the link to Smashwords, or you can do a search for it directly on Smashwords, and you can type in this 5-character coupon and download it in whatever format you want for free.
So and what is the coupon code?
The coupon code is L as in Lima, S as in Sierra, 87, J as in Juliet.
So that was Lima, Sierra, 87, Juliet?
That's correct, LS87J.
And does that have an expiration date on it?
It does. It's good through the weekend. So Monday the 16th.
Okay. So if you hear that, and you might want to plop that into a blog post along with this the link to this podcast as well. So through the weekend, if you want to grab a copy, a free copy, just use that. Go to Smashwords and use that code, and you can. So now you said you've been awfully busy with the new job, but are you working on book 4?
I am. I actually have book 4 written, and it's in the editing phase right now.
Excellent. Any idea on when book 4 may be coming out?
I'm hoping to have it out this summer. There's a lot of editing to do to it, but and I want to make it just absolutely as perfect as I can, obviously. But
well, sure.
It's such a good book, and I'm so looking forward to the culmination of the series.
It sounds like it's an awful lot of fun. Well, I want to let you know how much I appreciate you coming on the show tonight and talking about this. About sci-fi and fantasy, and it just also sounds like a very, very fun series.
Well, thank you. I've heard a lot of people really enjoy it, and I hope your listeners do too. It's just so much fun to write and so much fun to read and have fun with it.
And I'm very, very glad too that the Kansas weather let us both connect tonight.
Yeah, we were not certain about that at one point.
Exactly. So I hope you're in Pekah, right?
I am, and we may or may not get tornadoes, or we may or may not get snow in the next 24 hours.
Dealer's choice. It always is in northern Kansas.
Yes.
Well, I shall be talking to you again, and for now, you and the critters have a nice evening, and thanks for coming up on the Blue Plate Special.
Thank you so much. It's been fun.
And everyone else, I just want to let you know that this podcast is owned and copyrighted by the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. Special on Facebook to stay up to date with the hottest offs fresh off the grill. And with that, I will say goodnight to everyone, and thank you.